Right, we're going to do a Bible study tonight on 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I can hear it. Tinny, who's the mic that speaker's behind?
Hello.
One sec. That'll do. That's perfect. Lovely.
Reverb.
Elvis boy. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Now, a lot of scholars say that this is arguably the best chapter in the New Testament for the things that it will say. In this chapter, I'm not going to preach it tonight, but in this chapter, it tells us that for those that are in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come, therefore we are new creations. It talks about, at the end, the last verse of this chapter, tells us, it sums up the gospel in one little verse, if you like, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's like the shortest statement of the gospel that we've got in that little bit. And whenever we get there, that one verse will be enough for us to preach about for 10 meetings. In that, just that one little statement. So I want a reminder. Paul here is doing a... Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church. The people have kind of sort of got upset with Paul and said, whoever's Paul, people are writing letters and signing Paul's name to it and giving it out. They're saying Paul's ministry wasn't no good, what Paul had, what you need Jesus and you need to keep the traditions of the Jews. They was putting them back under the law. And they was trying to get in amongst the church there. And Paul writes this letter with more compassion because he has to fight for his own right to say, this is why I'm a Christian, these are the things that I went through. Later on in Corinthians, Paul will tell you, look, I'm a Jew amongst Jews. I was beaten, I was whipped, he gives them the list in this book. And Paul is like, he's defending his ministry. He's like, he's defending why he's a Christian. He's defending why he preaches the gospel. And here Paul, he's just gone on to say from chapter, he talks about the... hard pressed on every side, struck down but not destroyed. He talks about what he went through. And then he goes on about momentary afflictions, the things that we go through. And then he hits chapter 5 and he says, chapter 5 verse 1, for we know, I read the first 4 verses. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, with which is in heaven. For indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, when Paul gives this out, remember Paul writes this, what was Paul's profession? What did Paul do for a living? He made tents. I don't sound very confident in that. Paul made tents for a living. That's what he did. And a better translation, when it says at house, it talks about this tent. Now, Paul is speaking here about this body. There is a house ready for me. And he's talking about this tent, this body, this what he dwells in. This house, this tent is destroyed. He is talking about his own self. And he is saying that I long to be with the Lord. I long to be where God is. And God has prepared... The Bible says that we will be like Christ. Now, when Christ returned to the earth, after the death and the resurrection, he returned to the earth, He could walk through walls, sit down and eat food. He still bore the scars what he had, so he was still recognisable. He could fly up into the heavens. He had a body which was... We don't know what that was like in that sense. We're contained in this body. But Christ, after he had died and he'd been resurrected, he got a new body. And that is what we're going to get, that new body. And Paul is saying, look, I long to be in that new inhabitation, that new body. This body can't enter heaven. This body can't get there. This body is not made to go to heaven. This body is made to live on planet Earth. This body is not made to live on the moon. It's not made to live in the ocean. It's not made to live on Mars or the sun or another planet. It is made to live on planet Earth. It is not made to go to heaven. When we get to heaven, there is a different body that we get to go there. And Paul is saying, this inhabitation, this body, this what we have, and this clothes, what I'm clothed with. You see, this flesh that we have, although we like to look after it, some more than others, I don't like to look after mine very much, but I will try. Some like to look after their bodies more than others, but this body, this flesh, isn't just what I'm made up of. And that might sound strange. Inside of me is a spirit. Inside of every one of us is a soul and a spirit. And that soul and that spirit lives forever. That's what lives on. This body will go to the ground. When we say, when we do funerals, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, this part of this body, this flesh, when the heart's not pumping, it will decay. It will decay at a high rate. And then it gets put into the ground. That's where this body goes. But what makes me, what makes you, you, is not this physical appearance, this physicality. Is there something inside each and every one of us, this spirit that lives forever. This thing that is you, that what knows, that has knowledge. Do you know when you close your eyes, you still think. You can still put together, you imagine, you can dream. That's you. That's who you are. The way that you talk, the way that you act, that doesn't come from this flesh. It doesn't come from this bone and flesh. It doesn't come from that. That comes from inside wherever I point to. I don't know where your spirit and your soul is. I want to say it's up here. But that's you. That's who you are. That's why we're different from one another. Do you know God loves individuals? He hasn't called us to be all exactly the same. It's all individuals. We're all different shapes and sizes in here. But we all have a different way of going on, a different way of acting. We all have a different way of thinking, each and every one of us. And that is individual for you. God loves that. That's what Jesus Christ died for, is you. Not this fleshly part. Because this fleshly part will be put into the ground. But one day, all those that believe in the Lord will receive a new tent, a new dwelling, a new place for me and for you. You are going to receive a new body one day. And that new body will go into heaven. It will be made for heaven. So what heaven's going to be like and whatever heaven's going to be, it is going to be made to experience the Lord. It's going to be made to go there. Now we know that the Bible says that in my Father's house there are many mansions or many rooms. And the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. Let me tell you something. This world is a, I don't know what you'd call it, with the universe and everything that's in it, it's an amazing place. Look at colours. Look at just colours itself. Just to think about a colour and think about how nice things are. Think about smells. Think about taste. Think about food. Think about animals and creatures. Think about how good things are. Think about it. Just think how good that we have it on planet Earth. He made this in 6 days. But the Bible says, for Jesus has gone over 2,000 years, I go to prepare a place for who? For you. In 6 days he built this one. It's been over 2,000 years he's building that one. What is that going to be like? What is heaven going to be like What is that going to be like? We're going to get a body that is ready for that place. We're going to get a body for it. I don't know what that is exactly going to be like, but I know that heaven is better than this. Heaven is better than this. And he says here that we're going to be clothed, that when we go in there, we know that we receive the robe of righteousness. We can't clothe ourselves. Do you know that there was a group of people that used to live the way that they wanted to live. And then when they were buried, they'd put on the monk's garments, you know, the brown robe with the hood. And they would be buried in that. And their thinking was that when they got to heaven's gates, they would be wearing that robe and they could con God, because they could think that they'd lived this monk's life. They'd lived this life of... And they was going to con. We're not conning God. How foolish is that? We only enter in because Christ gives us the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
He clothes us. Amen. He makes us ready for heaven. What Christ has done on earth, he makes us ready for heaven. And this is what he is saying. I long to be in heaven. This is what Paul is saying. And he says, I've grown with it. It's hard to describe that word. It's that intense prayer that you've heard of a tragedy and there's no words for it. And all you could go is go, oh, there's no words for it. And this is how he is saying, there's no words, because I long to be with the Lord. I've got no words to say or to talk or to say how much I want to be with the Lord. I'm in agony, I've grown, I long to be where he is. I long to be clothed, that this mortality will be swallowed up and that I will go to be with the Lord. Now in verse 5 it says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. A guarantee. A down payment, if you like, but a guarantee. Now, in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus is talking to a man called Nicodemus. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he talks to him, he says, a man must be born again before he can enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. He says, a man must be born again. Born again of what? God's spirit. That's what a person is, has to be born again of God's spirit. How do you know that you've got God's spirit? Well, when you have God's spirit, when you come forward or wherever you go and you give your life to the Lord, your life can never be the same. The old has to go and the new has to come. You can't think or live or do things like you once did. And I say this a lot, but have you ever noticed that when you give your life to the Lord, the way that you even talk changes? I know people, and I can remember this, that people would come to the church and then you couldn't listen to it because every other word was a four-letter word out their mouth. You couldn't talk without swearing to you. Come to the Lord and have a conversation with them. They don't swear no more. Like that. What's happened there? What has took place there? Conviction. You can't watch the same programs what you used to watch. Now you give your life to the Lord and you put something on. There was a program I put on the other day, and the man was swearing on it and swearing on it. And at every word, I thought, I can't even watch this. I can't even put this on. It offends me now. It offends us, doesn't it? There are things now that you put on and you think, I can't put up with that. Because there is something that's gone on the inside. The Holy Spirit is now on the inside, cleaning up, doing a work inside of us all. And the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit who's inside as a guarantee. A guarantee means he's guaranteed to come and get it. It's a guarantee. The Holy Spirit, if you like, would be a down payment, a deposit, if you like. I'm paying for that. I owe £100 for something. I'm going to give you £30 as a down payment. I don't want to lose that £30. I'm coming back to get it. I'm having it. I'm buying it. When the Holy Spirit is put onto us, he is given to us, it's our guarantee. I know that I'm saved. I know that I have Jesus living on the inside. I know I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Because I can't do the things that I want to do or I used to do. The minute that a lie comes out of my mouth, I want to grasp it back in because I know it offends the Lord. The minute that I watch something that's not right, I have to switch it off because I know it offends the Lord. The minute my mouth says things that's not right, I want to pull it back in because I know that it offends the Lord. The minute that I pick something up and go to take it, I know that it offends the Lord. What is going on? It isn't me getting better. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside. And that is the guarantee that every Christian's got. We are new creations because Christ is on the inside. And if you haven't got Christ on the inside, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit on the inside, you haven't got Christ. If there is no change in someone's life, there is no conversion because the Holy Spirit has not come in and is not doing the work. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian because of other people, and I see how other people go on and I want to go on like it. I'm a Christian because I've accepted Jesus Christ and now the Holy Spirit convicts my life and this is the way I need to live. The Bible says that he took the tablets that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be fair false witness. He took them 10 commandments. And when the Holy Spirit comes on into man, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he writes the commandments on the heart of man. We now know what displeases God. We now know that in our heart, in our conscience, what displeases the Lord. Paul would say, my conscience is clear before you. I've done what I had to do between me and the Lord. My conscience is clear. You need to live as a Christian with a clear conscience. You cannot carry on in sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Is the Holy Spirit living inside? Thank you, Jesus. That's the guarantee he's come in effect. It says this in verse 6. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He is saying that we are confident to know that we have the Holy Spirit, so we are always confident. So we know that we're confident because we have the Holy Spirit, knowing that while we are at home in the body here, that we are absent from the Lord. I'm absent from the Lord. I'm not in heaven. I'm not in his presence. It doesn't mean to say that he doesn't have the Lord. It just means he's not in the Lord's presence. He's not at home. He's not in heaven yet. For we walk by faith, not sight. God, what a place to put that. So we're always confident. The Holy Spirit's a guarantee. We are always confident knowing that while we are at home, in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not sight. We walk by faith. Christians, we live by faith. We walk, we the things that we do. I cannot see God, but I know that God's real. I know that he's real. I know that heaven's a real place. I know that for me to walk as a Christian is to walk by faith. Do you know what? I'll tell you something that I learned through the years doing spiritual warfare, preaching it in different churches. I'll tell you what Satan's job for every person in this place, that the enemy's job is for every person, is to bring fear into your life. Fear into Christians' hearts. Fear. Do you know why fear? Why would you think fear? Fear is the opposite of faith. That's what fear is. When someone lives in fear, they don't live in faith. They live in worry. They live in anxiety. They live in a time where they can't see the future. They can't see tomorrow. They don't know what's in it. I am told not to worry about tomorrow, because my God's already there. I am told not to worry. The birds of the air are clothed. They eat, they don't store in barns. They eat, they're provided for. My Heavenly Father will provide for me. That's what the Bible says. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God's already there, he's taking care of it. Satan's job is to bring fear. Why fear? It's because it's the opposite of faith. For we walk by faith, not sight. Do you know, even in that, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, think about what he could see. He could walk through it because God was with him. And brothers and sisters, we can walk no matter what fear, no matter what's coming. We can walk because we walk by faith, not feelings, not fear. We walk by faith. What a place to put this, for we walk not by we walk by faith, not by sight. We might not have the answer to every question. We might not have the answer for you to say what's going to happen with you next week, next month or next year. We might not have them answers. But I tell you what you do have to do, is that you have to trust and put your faith in the Lord and continue. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He says here that I am confident that when someone dies, when this body dies, that I will be absent from this world, but I will be present with the Lord. Absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This does away with purgatory. This does away with all false teaching of where somebody goes, like soul sleep, like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. This does away with all that. For somebody to die, absent from this body, is to be where? Any loved one who we have lost who acknowledge the Lord, they're with the Lord. They're absent from the body, but they're present with the Lord. This is a scripture that we, when he puts this here, we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I know, for me, as a Christian, it would be far better for the Lord to come and take me home. Because for me to be absent from this body, I could go to be where the Lord is. I could go there. I'm not told to speed my death up. I'm not told to take their life. That's completely wrong. But I've got a confidence to know. And as a Christian, I don't fear death because I know that absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. I don't want anybody to mourn over my death. Not to mourn, but to be happy. Because absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What a guarantee, what a perfect way of putting it. How would Paul write that? It's better for me. Paul would say later on, it's better for me to remain on earth for you. But for me, I want to go to London to be with the Lord now. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And let me tell you something. Sometimes trials come. Hardships come. And we long for it. I long to be where the Lord is. This world isn't getting better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get hard. It's going to get worse. It doesn't get better from this point on. We know that the Lord's going to return one day. And he tells us in Matthew 24 what it's going to be like. He tells us in his word how bad things are going to get. Hold on, brothers and sisters. One day you will breathe your last. And absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why are we all here? What's all this about? I know that when I breathe my last, I can go home to be with the Lord. Beautiful picture. Verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is unbelievable to think about, the amount of stuff that Paul is writing and putting into this. Each verse is a teaching on its own. And he says this, he says that, therefore, we make it our aim that if we're on earth, we're pleasing to the Lord. Wherever we're at, we're going to be pleasing to the Lord. If we go to be with him, we'll be pleasing. If we're here, we should be pleasing to the Lord. Whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Think about this. We don't face, as Christians, we know, and I'll just share this with you, there's two judgments. There's the great white throne judgment at the end of all things, where God will judge all the ungodly.
No Christian goes to the great white throne judgment. They receive, for what they've done on earth, they receive the punishment that's going to take place. That's what they receive. Here, us here as Christians, we do all, you might have heard it called the Bema Seat, which is just the Greek translation of the judgment seat. But we all face the judgment seat of Christ. That means every Christian will be judged to receive good rewards for doing the things good, or no rewards. I think 2 Corinthians later on he puts it that our rewards will be tested with by fire. Some things we get rewarded with wood, hay and straw. Well, what happens to wood, hay and straw when it's burnt? When it goes near a fire, sorry. It's burnt. Or gold, silver and precious stone. Well, gold and silver gets refined and precious stone doesn't burn up. So these are the characteristics of the rewards. What's the rewards? Well, there are things that we do for the Lord and there are things that we do for me. Do you know we can have very, very good and talented people, very good and talented people want to get behind the pulpit to share with others their talent. Sometimes that's a good thing, but it's what they want. It's how they want to bring that across. I'm talented, or what I should be doing that. It's not talent, but it's service. We need people that might not be the talentiest person in the world, but will serve the Lord no matter what. Here is the heart of the matter, that God will judge the heart of everyone's service. What do you serve the Lord for? What, for what reason? The reason must be because it's what Christ wants, it's what he died for, and I'm just willing to do what he wants me to do. We all face, do you know, it's a terrible thing to think that we all get rewarded for the things that we do when we go to be with the Lord. It's a terrible thing that we would go there with no reward. I don't think that, I think you will feel that. I think I would feel that. If I go to be with the Lord and for whatever reason I go there, I have no reward, but I'm just going in. The mentality of someone to say that if only I have a dog box in heaven, that'll do. The mentality of that is so wrong that we just want to say, if only I could just scrape by as a Christian and just scrape into heaven. Why live like that? I want to be all that you died for me to be. I want to do the works that you have prepared for me. Does God need you to do his work? No, God's fully capable of doing it. Fully capable. But the Bible says that he has laid good works for you to fulfil. He's laid them works so that you do them and that he can reward you. We face that judgment seat. We have to face it. There is no getting away from it. Brothers and sisters, there is no getting away from it. And I think, have you, who here has watched the film Schindler's List? Seen that film? Hard film to watch. I think I've seen it once, I wouldn't ever watch it ever again. Hard film to watch. Something he done at the end of it, that it's like the defining moment of the film, and at the end of it he had a wedding ring on. And he took it off and he said, if only I'd have sold this ring, I could have bought 3 more. And he looked at his car and he went, if only I'd have sold that car, I could have bought 3 more, 2 more. I could have bought more, I could have done more. The man had done. He had done great things and he saved loads of people. But at that time, at the end, he realised that he could have done better. He could have done more. And that should be the burden of each and every one of us. That when we go to be with the Lord, our time's up. You ain't going to work and receive no more rewards. It's done. And when you get there, you'll go, Lord, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have took notice. I wish I'd have told more people. I wish I'd have went to more meetings or read more or done what you wanted me to do. I wish I could have been all that you wanted me to be. But brothers and sisters, when we get to heaven, it's too late. Thank God that we're going to heaven. But there's something better than just going to heaven. It's receiving what the works that God has left for you, and you fulfill it and receiving the rewards. I wish I'd have done better. I wish I'd have done more. Cannot be the words that we speak on earth now, because we have the chance to do it. When we get to heaven, I think plenty of us have said, oh, I wish I'd have done more, I wish I'd have just done that, I wish I'd have took more notice, I wish I'd have been bolder. And I think that is going to be something that every one of us are going to do. We can't make excuses and think that when we die and we breathe our last, we're going to be with the Lord and everything's going to be perfect. Everything is going to be perfect. I'm not trying to sell it out. But when Paul is writing this, we will receive for the works of what we've done, whether good or bad. Good or bad. Then Paul says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Again, he says, we know the terror of this. There's only one thing about better than going to heaven. One thing better than going to heaven. And that's taking somebody with you. That is it. You've personally told someone about the Lord, and they're on the way with you. I think the little that we can do, we have to serve with it. The testimony of the man at George Street in Australia, who couldn't do too much at all, but prayed and asked the Lord. He never had confidence, but he had leaflets made, and all that he would do was come out of a doorway, an alleyway, and he would give somebody, here, read this, or, you know, Jesus loved you, and give them a tract, and that was it. He personally never led no one to the Lord. And then when you hear that man's testimony, you hear how people got saved. How did you get saved? I was in Australia and I walked down this street and a man came out and gave me a tract and I got on the plane and I read it and I knew that it was for me. And it would give me life to the Lord. On earth, we might not receive that reward. And we shouldn't be looking for no rewards on earth. None whatsoever. We shouldn't be looking for rewards. Didn't he do well? Didn't you do great? Oh, wasn't that fantastic? That was lovely. We shouldn't be looking for that. We should be looking to serve the Lord no matter what. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you can do, make sure that you are doing it, little or big. You can just tell somebody about the Lord. You can just do that. And you can receive a reward the same as what Peter or Paul or somebody in there, because you're faithful to do what God has called you to do. Like these men will be faithful because of what God's called them to do. It says, knowing that we're going to be judged, that we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that we're going to do it, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we are persuaded men. He says, knowing that. Brothers and sisters, we have to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're in here and you have no fear of God, I could honestly say that you have no wisdom whatsoever. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. God is not your mate. He's not your mate. God, I want you to hear this. He's not your mate that you're going to put everything all right with. He's not someone you can have can't do it today because this, this and this. He's not your pal, he's not your buddy, he's not your mate. He's your Lord and he's your Saviour. He's God that created everything. And he's worthy for us to be reverent and fearful of him. That we take the right position when it comes for us on the Lord. We come humbly, heads bowed, Lord, please, my Jesus. Give me somebody that I can tell of your love. Lord, put a work in front of me that I can fulfil it today. I know one day I'm going to face that judgment seat. So Lord, let me serve you the way that you want me to. Knowing this, knowing that we're going to face that judgment, let us serve the Lord. Let us serve the Lord. Finish there tonight. So I'll finish there at verse 11. When you think about the amount of stuff that we've just gone through, Paul is talking about, I'll just give you an overview. Paul talks about this body when it goes, we go on to be with the Lord. He talks about the guarantee that we have with the Holy Spirit. We have a guarantee. So we're confident that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All those that have died knowing the Lord, knowing God, they've gone out to be with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. Everything might be falling apart all around, but we trust in the Lord. And then to talk about that we, who are Christians, one day we will face that judgment seat. And we have to have that in our mind, to be fearful and worried about that, to be thinking about that and going, look, I want to serve the Lord to the best of the ability. Not just living a slapdash, lack Christianity. God doesn't deserve that. One day we will be judged for it. Any questions?